Dermot O'Neill is here to answer your questions and talk tulips.
I have a wonderful variety that I have in the grass in my own garden. It's called Queen of Sheba, and very special tulip. It's a lily flowered with two tones, and they come up every year without fail. I deadhead them when they're finished, and I let them naturally die back into the ground, and they come again.
You can email mooney@rte.ie or send a text message about anything at all right now to 51551. Queen of Sheba, indeed. Dermot O'Neill, how are you?
Very well,
good
thank you,
good to see you. I haven't seen you for a while. What have you been doing? Who have you been doing it with and for how long?
Well, I've been very busy, thank God. And I've been very busy gardening.
Oh, yeah.
And enjoying myself. And I've been travelling around the country doing talks and lectures. I've been working in my own garden and just having a great
time. Your own garden in Clondeglas?
Yes, yes.
How's it coming along?
Well, it's a bit behind because of the wet weather. And that slows things down. Well, very wet. I'm in the foothills of the Slieve Bloom Mountains, so it gets a little bit more wet than I would like. But everything is great. Plants are good. Happy.
Are you growing any rhubarb in Clondeglas?
I grow lots of rhubarb.
I was reading your article. Dermot has his Garden Heaven magazine. Ireland's premier garden magazine, that's what it says. And it's only £4.95. And it's out now. Aina mentioned it on Friday because she's written about bumblebees. She
wrote very good article about bumblebees. Superb.
But shall I read a little bit of your own article?
Please.
It says, as a young boy, one of the very first gardening techniques I was taught by my grandmother was how to harvest a rhubarb stalks. I remember being told to grip the end of the stalk firmly and to gently wiggle it until it came free from the base. So you got to wiggle it just a little bit. You wiggle it out. You don't yank it out.
No, do not yank it. Wiggle it to help it lift out easily. Very important.
Is it hard to grow?
Very, very easy to grow. That's one of the fantastic things about rhubarb. It'll grow in sun or shade, and it will is happy in most soils, providing it doesn't get too wet.
Well, another one of your contributors is a gentleman by the name, the name of Brian O'Donnell, and he's written about rhubarb as well. And he said that when he was growing it, it was beside the manure. Well, that was the best place for it.
Very rich. It likes that those kind of conditions. And if you've manure that rots down, it loves that. And if you don't have manure, you can buy bags of manure in most garden centres now, make sure it's well rotted, and you can spread it around them and let it rot down gently. Never put it on top. The crown is very important. And if you put it on top, you could actually kill the plant.
Why?
The top is sensitive, and the manure rotting down on the top, it won't be happy with that. It may rot itself. So around, it'll rot into the soil and the roots will get it.
Anything else you can do to help it to grow?
Well, I think one of the most important things is if you're growing rhubarb for the first time, leave it alone for the first year. Allow it to grow. And then second year, you can start harvesting. And if you harvest a lot, then give it a rest and leave it another year. So if you've got space, put in a few clumps, not just one or two, put in five or six. And that allows you harvest again and again.
How do you buy it, Dermot, by the way?
You buy it, you can actually buy it in pots in good garden centres.
Okay, yeah.
They're big, big, big roots known as crowns. And all the energy goes down into those and it bursts up. They're up now and you can harvest them now.
Is it a bit like golden bamboo?
I'll
tell you why I ask you
quite.
That. Well, oh, no, I don't mean in terms of what it looks like, but in terms of how it grows. So the golden bamboo, we chopped it to bits last year.
Okay.
Right. And then we had a few good weeks of summer and spring. And when I tell you that it shot up, I mean it shot up to about 7 feet tall.
The root system was very happy then.
Very, very happy.
And just took
off. And I just wondered, are you talking about something similar there? No, you're not, of course.
Not really. But rhubarb would be, one great thing about rhubarb is after, let's say, 5 or 6 years, you can lift it in, let's say, November, when it's dying back, and you can divide up the crown and put in new plants.
I think I'm going to grow it in some pots.
Big, big pot.
And I've got some big pots.
Big, deep pot. Very important.
Big, deep one, yeah. I had some trees and I had an apple tree.
Oh,
which
very
I've,
good.
Transplanted.
Okay.
Because it looked like it wasn't doing too well. Now it's doing really, really well.
It would love being in the ground.
So I am going to stick it in. I'm going to get some rhubarb and stick it in. Is it a good time of year or am I leaving it too late?
No, an excellent time. Garden centres have it all around the country at the moment. Mm-hmm. And look out, there are different varieties. Some varieties have redder stems than others. And it's just a case of whatever you can get it and plant it.
Now, I remember we sometimes got it rhubarb tart.
Oh, beautiful.
When there
delicious.
Were no apples around. Was it yes. kind of a poor man's dessert sort of thing?
No, no, not at all.
Rhubarb with custard, because it's a little fantastic. Bit bitter, the rhubarb. I haven't tasted it for years now.
Well, if you...
When you put custard on it, you have that lovely bitter sweet thing going down.
True, but you also can add sugar to it. My grandmother was a great advocate of rhubarb, and she used to make a rhubarb jam with ginger in it. Really beautiful jam and very easy to make. No problem.
All right, so I'm going to get out to your garden centre and get some rhubarb. Stick it in your garden.
And there are five or six different recipes that anybody can make in that.
Brian has done,
Very
white
simple
chocolate,
recipes.
White chocolate panna cotta with stewed rhubarb and grenadine syrup. Oh, it sounds delicious. And then you have rhubarb and ginger creme brulee.
Very easy.
If you don't mind.
Yes.
I mean, hang on a second. Fine, what else we've got in there? Because it all looks delicious. Pim's jelly with new season rhubarb, strawberries and mascarpone cream.
Delicious.
Rhubarb meringue with a crunchy ginger base. Oh, can I tell you? You know, we eat with our eyes. You want to see the pictures in this magazine.
They're very good.
And then Dermot tells you about
how to grow it. Yes.
So it's fairly straightforward
stuff. Easy, not difficult. Anybody can grow rhubarb.
Does it ever suffer? Does anything get it?
Not really. In actual fact, sometimes the rhubarb leaf, when there's a big, big crop of them, is taken, chopped up and put into maybe a bucket of water and let rot. And that is used then to spray to kill off green fly, insects. It's poisonous, the leaf. And if it's chopped and rotted in water, it can be used then, sprinkled on or sprayed on to something to kill off green fly very effectively.
Do you remember one day we had you in here and we talked about the night scent, the something night scent?
Night scented stock?
No. You just put it outside your door, and so when you're coming home in the evening, you go in, there's a lovely scent. Probably. Have you said it now? Daphne Balua. No.
Sarkakaka.
No, Sarkakaka.
They're all scented in the evening.
No, we spoke about it, and then night shaded night something. Anyway, the garden centres were on to us to say that they sold out.
Right.
Because you mentioned it on the air, so I can see this happening. You must remember what it was, Dermot. It was an easy enough one. You just basically got the seed and you sprinkled it.
No, that's night scented stock. You can buy the seed right now and prepare a little piece of ground, sprinkle it. And it'll come up about, let's say, 2 feet roughly in height. And in June, July, you get this fantastic scent in the evening.
Yeah, maybe it was the nice scent in stock. I'm sorry, maybe you're right.
Yes,
I apologise.
Not expensive.
Because
easy.
I put it in some pots. I just can't remember. Again, outside.
Very easy.
Because
there's
no
simple.
Grass outside. And it was just
not
really
a showy, easy. Not a showy
no,
plant.
No, not at all.
But very, very
subdued,
wonderful.
Let's say.
The scent is stunning. Really, it kind of travels through the air.
So get that and then get the rhubarb.
Yes.
And if you're listening in the garden centres, we're great for garden centres, get some extra rhubarb in. I guarantee everybody's going to buy rhubarb this week. Get it, plant it, look after it, eat it. But remember, you've got to wiggle it just a little bit if you want to get it out of the pot or out of the ground. Now, let's say hello to Grania. Hello, Grania, how are you?
Hi, Derek. I'm fine. And yourself?
No, not too bad. Is it Grania?
Yes.
How do you spell it?
Grania.
That's a strange way to spell it. Well, it's not strange for you, but...
That's a posh way of spelling it.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like Grania. Are you a Grania?
No, I'm a Grania.
You're a Grania.
I am a Granny, though. I am a Granny.
You're a Granny as well. Anyway, you're in County Kildare, I see.
I am in Ballymore Eustace.
Yeah, it says it on my screen. Not Ballymore Useless, as we used to call it when
we
were kids.
No, no.
And a beautiful part of the world it is, too.
Indeed it is, and it's absolutely beautiful today.
Well, hello to everybody in Ballymore Eustace, if you're listening to the show. You want to ask Dermot something?
I do. I have a poinsettia here that I bought 3 years ago.
Okay.
And for the last 2 years, it has blossomed at Easter with beautiful, like 2 to 3 inch blossoms. Like, it is absolutely covered in them, and the blossoms
Fantastic.
Are quite small,
okay.
and the leaves are quite small. But it looks like it needs to be repotted. And do you think I should just leave it? Or if I repot it, will I muck up the whole thing?
No, I think it probably after this length of time, it would do maybe with the repotting. Make sure when you're repotting it that the pot isn't too big and that you use good quality potting compost.
Right.
The trick with that particular plant is it's the light. If it gets natural daylight, it will flower. And that's why it's flowered for you. It's been exposed to natural daylight rather than artificial light. The ones we get at Christmas, they're big red bracts. which aren't really flowers. The flowers are tiny in the centre. And that's what's happened. And I think just pot it into the next size pot up and it'll be perfect. That's really good. Lovely to have something like that.
It's much nicer now than it was when I bought it.
Oh, wonderful.
You know, it had the big flowers and big leaves, but now it has all these smaller flowers and much smaller leaves, and it's just absolutely covered now.
That's wonderful.
What's it doing, Dermot? I thought this was a plant that we only saw at Christmas time.
Well, normally you see it at Christmas time because it's grown for the Christmas market. But you can keep them like this lady, keep it going and have it flowering again. And I think maybe an occasional liquid feed now and again would be good for it. But yes, you can do that, no problem.
All right, Gráinne, thank you very much indeed.
That's very good. Thank you very much.
Bye.
This email says we have what we've called a Christmas cactus plant. We bought it about 33 years ago at a church fair. Are you following me, Dermot?
Yes,
It's flowered most years between Christmas and Easter for 2 to 3 weeks. We've always taken it inside for the winter, and it lived in Belgium for 16 of those years. What? Have you got a passport for this thing? We didn't take it inside last winter, and it has been in continuous flower since before Christmas. Is on a terrace which is beside the sea and gets virtually no sun. We think it is unusual. Do you?
I think very unusual. A Christmas cactus is a plant, again, that's very, very sensitive to light. And normally they would be grown in Irish homes all over the country and they would be exposed to daylight and that hours, natural daylight hours coming up to Christmas, and that would trigger the flowers. They're very, very sensitive. And if you move the plant when it's coming into bud, they're famous for dropping all the flowers. Very suddenly they'll drop off. So in this case, I think possibly the fact that it's been moved around to various places and exposed to these conditions has encouraged it to come into flower. And that is very unusual, but very good. Nothing wrong with
it. It even lived in Belgium, if you don't mind.
Fantastic. No, that's great.
Have you been to Belgium?
Yes, I have.
Did you bring a plant with you?
No, I didn't. But
when you tell me, you've moved home a few times, have you not?
I have.
Have you moved home with your plants?
No.
No, I wouldn't either, I must admit.
No. Well, unless something very special or precious. I don't normally move with my plants.
Do you have a lot of indoor plants?
Not a huge amount.
You'd be more the outdoors guy, wouldn't you?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. I think it's unusual that somebody moved with their plants, but then maybe
No, that's fantastic. Maybe very popular plant too, and very easy to propagate. Break a piece off, stick it in a pot, and hey presto, they often root.
Ruth has been on to say she'd be grateful if I'd pass on this question to you. Can I divide... Now, what's this? Alstroemeria. Yeah. Can I divide that? They have not started flowering yet, is the first part of the question.
Okay, well...
Now, describe what it is, please.
All right. Alstroemeria is a very, very beautiful plant. It dies away completely. It's a herbaceous perennial, meaning it lives every year. It'll come up, but it dies underground in winter and then comes up again in the spring. It's got a very, very kind of thick root. The flowers are absolutely stunning, and you often see them in flower shops at this time of year for sale. They've cut flowers, very expensive, but very beautiful and very easy to grow. Alstroemeria could be divided, providing they're not too tall, very carefully. It's brittle, very brittle, and very, very beautiful. They come in different colours. They come in reds, pinks. There's a range called LIG2 hybrids, and they're gorgeous kind of different tones and different shades of orange, red, pink, purple. Really stunning. Fabulous, fabulous herbaceous plant. Likes a sheltered spot, good drainage, good quality soil, a bit of sunshine, maybe light shade, and hey presto, you've got a stunning plant, very easy to grow. Grow for many years. And if you want to divide it, you could have a go now, but it's getting a bit late. I'd be very careful doing it, and you could try it. Yes, definitely now.
All right, now, another article you have in here in your Garden Heaven magazine has to do with tulips.
Yes.
And I know that recently you paid a visit to the Powers Court Gardens, where you met Michael Byrne, the head gardener, and you were up there to check out the annual Tulip Festival.
Hi, Michael.
Hello, Dermot.
I'm delighted to come out and to chat to you about the Tulip Festival you've organised. And I've already seen lots and lots of fantastic colours. How many have you got?
Well, Last autumn, we planted roughly 10,000 tulip bulbs all over the gardens and at the Gate Lodge, even around the golf club. So it's a great display, and they're all mid-season. They're all kind of here now, and it's a perfect day to show the public around and the different varieties, the heights, the bulb sizes, the early to the late, and the colour schemes. Mixing your bulbs with your bedding, getting
great,
the right
colours.
Really
good. The marvellous thing, of course, about tulips is when you're buying them, you are able to pick early, mid and late varieties and create your own succession of colours and flowers. And also the range of colours is amazing when you go looking at them.
Yeah, I mean, it's increasing year upon year, and the availability is fantastic, and the growers certainly are producing good stock. The older varieties, like the Darwin hybrids, they tend to naturalise a bit better for us, and we can use them. But on a big estate like this, because we're open to the public 364 days of the year, we can't take the chance of not having the display. So if it was a domestic or a private garden, great, I would be planting them bulbs year upon year and I'd be drying them out, but we can't afford to do that. So what I do with a lot of the bulbs, I put them down onto the herbaceous border, which is almost the longest border I've seen, and it actually gives us something to kick the season off before the perennials start to come in.
So when you're planting, what depth do you plant them at?
I try and get the gardeners to get them about 6 inches. Certainly between 4 and 6 inches, no shallower than that, because we're very high up here on the estate, and it's quite windy, as you can feel it today,
yes,
coming off
yes.
off the Sugarloaf and off the coast. So we need to be careful with our heights, but we also need to be careful that they're planted right, because it's all the quality of the flower is a lot to do with the planting and not just the bulb. And they don't rock. You get this wind rock here. We see it on the wallflowers, and we have to walk the plants
to make
in.
Make sure they're firm.
That's
in the
how
ground.
We plant.
Very
we plant
good.
Them and then we walk the plants in.
Excellent. I find planting tulips tiny bit deeper again helps them come back next year without multiplying. I have a wonderful variety that I have in the grass in my own garden, and it's there probably 6-7 years. It's called Queen of Sheba, and very special tulip. It's a lily flowered with two tones, lovely long flower, and I planted them, I suppose, 8 inches deep.
Wow.
And they come up every year without fail. I deadhead them when they're finished, and I let them naturally die back into the ground, and they come again.
As you would a daffodil or
exactly,
something
yes.
like that. Yeah.
So that's wonderful, because it's so hard to get that particular type. It's lovely having them repeating. And it's in a small area. I just sprinkled very light grass seed over it, so I've no weeds. But I do very carefully allow them to die back, because they need that energy from the leaves going back into them.
The bulb really needs it. And bulb sizes are very important. And I think a lot of people go to the garden centre and get a bit of confusion. But I try and get with 12s. 12 plus is the size of the bulb. A lot of the garden centres will sell you 10 to 11. And if you can get a 12, the better the bulb, the bigger the bulb.
The bigger the flower.
The bigger the flower. And that's a fact.
And also the opposite is, if you plant them shallow, what will happen is they'll flower, but the following year all the energy will go into multiplying. Rather than giving you more flowers, you get loads of small stems
shoots.
They're making more bulbs. The energy's just gone, not into the flowers, into multiplying. So by having them deep, you're guaranteed to have them back again. You mentioned you've gardeners here, and how many do you have for such a big, fantastic garden?
Well, here we're standing in the main garden, the formal informality of it all. There's about 62 acres, which is fenced in by a deer fence. Then we have the avenue to maintain, the 300-year-old beech trees there, the clubhouse and the golf club, as far as the waterfall. So it's a big remit, and there's only 5 gardeners here. So I think we all do a very good job, and it's physically very challenging. And every day, 5 o'clock, I'm nearly ready for bed.
And how long does the festival run for?
We're in the hands of the gods a little bit with the weather, and everyone's seen what happened last spring, and we couldn't gauge it. Some were coming up, some weren't. So we decided it would run from the 10th to the 24th of April, and I thought I would try and get the walk in with the public midway through that, and all the tulips are up, so we're really lucky today.
That's fantastic. The weather has been so mild, really, this winter. It gives you the opportunity to see maybe things out a tiny bit early, too.
Yeah, I'd almost nearly say we could have done with a few more cold, frosty mornings this winter, but I'm not complaining. Things are a bit early, and the results, there's more colour in the garden than we normally would have in April. Normally, it's May when we start to get the colour, and of course, then at the end of May, the roses will start to play a big part in the garden as well.
I see there's a large group gathering, so I'm going to let you go. I'd say they're all waiting for you, and I think this is a great idea and the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And talk to you soon. Take care.
That's a lovely idea.
Anyway,
and by the way, the details are on our website, rte.ie/Mooney, about the Tulip Festival, which I think ends tomorrow. But if you've nothing to do in the morning, you might pop along and have a look. I mean, 10,000 tulips. Where would you see that many tulips? Would you have to go to Amsterdam? What's the name of the garden outside of Amsterdam?
Kirkenhof,
yeah.
Incredible.
You'd probably have to go there. Still doing tours?
I haven't been there, but I just back from Prague.
Are
and
you?
The gardens around Prague, quite incredible, amazing.
Who did you do that with?
The Travel Department.
You're still doing that with the Travel Department?
Yeah. And I have another one coming up with the Travel Department. We're going to Tuscany. Mm. I'm looking forward to that, really, very much.
Well, you don't have to go that far.
No.
You can go to Powers Court.
Yes, fantastic.
But you better do it today or tomorrow.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, get there ASAP, as they say. Visit our website anytime you like, rte.ie/Mooney. Let's talk to Aidan Dardis first. Hello, Aidan. He's got a question about daffodils. How are you today?
I'm good, Derek. And yourself? Good,
hanging in. Dermot's all yours.
Dermot.
Hi.
Tell me this.
Yes.
I was always told that daffodils, you should let them die back naturally.
Yes.
That made the flower for the following year.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
Now, lately somebody has said that every year they cut back their daffodils to within a couple of inches of ground level and they still have great blooms.
Well, let me describe what happens. Mm-hmm. If you cut the leaves back, you're stopping the energy going back down to create new bulbs or even to give the energy for flowers for next year.
That's what I always heard,
So if you leave them and let them die down themselves, what I recommend is, first of all, deadhead your tulips. That's very important. Take the dead flowers off. And then if you allow the flowers to die back naturally, they will create the energy for new bulbs and new flowers. Now, if they're managing that without that, there's some other reason, because that's what happens. All the energy will go down into creating brand new bulbs and new flowers.
I see. Grand.
Okay.
Simple as that?
Yeah, simple as that. Very simple. And people who chop them off, if they do that on a regular basis, eventually their quality will go way, way down.
I see.
Thanks very much indeed, Aidan.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. Let's go to Kay Byrne now. It's not Gay Byrne, it's Kay Byrne. Hello, Kay.
Kay Byrne.
Sounds like she's opening a door or closing a door in the background, were you?
Yeah, the dog was out in the hall pulling a teddy apart.
What kind of dog is it?
Little Springer Spaniel.
And Springer Spaniel. Right, go on. You've got Dermot now. He's all yours. Camellias.
Yeah,
Camellias.
I have a large area planted. It's a mound. With camellias.
Okay.
And they're there a number of years.
Yes.
But some of them are laid down with flowers and then others have no flowers.
Okay. Right. Well, this is the time for them to flower. And in actual fact, in many places, the flowers are beginning to go over now. They're fantastically flamboyant when in full flower. Now, if you've got a camellia that's not flowering, the chances are it's not getting the nutrients it needs. And what I recommend to everyone is, as camellias finish flower, or as new growth begins, you give them an iron tonic once, a one-off iron tonic. You can buy it in most garden centres. It's called sequestered iron. And you make it up in a watering can and give the plant a good soak. It acts like a catalyst, helping release the nutrients to the plant. Do it once when the new growth is starting, and thereafter an odd, let's say, liquid tomato feed, very high in potassium, which will encourage flowers for next year. So a plant that hasn't flowered often will flower the following year if you do that.
Okay, great.
And they're very good in containers, in shade. If you haven't bought one, a good time to buy one now. Very easy plant. They hate to dry out and they hate to get too wet.
Well, you know, I stuck them in my father's backyard, remember?
Yes.
A few years ago. In fact, you got them for me.
Yes.
And they are still doing really, really well.
They're fabulous.
All you have to do is drop a bit of water on them every now and again. And just when you least expect it, bing, there they are in flower.
Fantastic plants. Wonderful. Yeah.
They are beautiful. My favourite.
The only other problem I have is that the frost seems to get them because we're here in County Dublin. We're quite high up.
Okay.
Out the Wicklow Mountains direction, and the frost gets them.
Well, what you could do, you can buy in a garden centre a thing called horticultural fleece, and it's very light. You just put it over the
plant.
People
put it over their salads and lettuce and things like that when they're growing.
Yes, if you think there's going to be a few frosty nights, put that over them, and they'll be perfect. It's very good.
Yeah,
or you could blow on them.
Blow on them.
Oh yeah, when it's very frosty. Have you never done this, Kay? No.
No,
when it's very frosty, you just go outside, and you drink a little cup of Bovril, and you just go.
This is totally new to me.
No,
it's not the 1st of April, is it?
No, that's what you do. You know, have you ever had Bovril?
But
it's really cold.
A brand new method.
I am guaranteed, this works, trust me. Cup of Bovril. I used to have Bovril on Sundays. I used to go and watch Bohemians playing in Dalyman Park, and you could buy Bovril on a Mars bar. And lovely on a really cold or wet day. And just go out when it's very frosty and stand in front of your camellia and go...
Don't let anyone see you doing this.
Well, don't do it in the nude.
No.
Have you got it now?
Oh, my God.
Kay.
Well, right.
You got to do it. Yeah.
Am I going to do it?
Yeah.
I am not.
Good on you. Yeah, she's not going to do it.
Bye.
Thank you very much.
It works, Derek. Try it.
Oh, I'm not going to try it. Sorry, Derek. No, thank you.
Just blow on it.